Blog Talk Radio.
Delving past the headlines, sorting through the media bias, exposing the propaganda, and challenging you to use your brain. It's time to tap into the truth.
Yes, that's right, ladies and gentlemen. It is indeed time to tap into the truth. Welcome to today's broadcast. Hope you are having a great day wherever you are and whatever you may be doing. With you, as always, this is your ever-so-humble host, Tim Tapp, coming to you live from historic Roane County, Tennessee. Today, I wanted to talk about the Patriots Rally for Freedom. We have scheduled today as guests co-founder of TeaPartyCommunity.com, Ken Crow. And then a little bit later in the show, we're also scheduled to be joined by Mr. Derek Wilburn, who is the founder of American Conservatives of Color. He also happens to be one of the featured speakers, as well as the MC for the Patriots Rally for Freedom. And despite everything that's going on in the world today, one of the reasons why I wanted to talk about this is, first of all, it's still upcoming. It is scheduled to take place Saturday, March 15th, starting at 10 a.m. Central Time at Cool River Ranch in Martindale, Texas. But it is important to talk about things like this because this isn't a Tea Party rally, per se, which you might think given the Tea Party community folks' involvement, but it's a conservative rally. That's where the starting points come from. But even then, it's not just a conservative rally. This is a rally for everyone who cares about the country. This rally is being held in Texas because right now there is a major push going on from those on the left side of the political spectrum to try and turn Texas blue. Battleground Texas is an organization that, well, as far as I can tell, is just a reimagining, if not flat out, just a renamed version of ACORN. They're pushing hard. They're pushing candidates like Wendy Davis, who became a hero for liberals across the country when she stood up and filibustered against a anti-abortion bill in the state of Texas. She became an icon for the cult of death for those folks that pretend that abortion is about privacy rights or a right to choose, instead of acknowledging the fact that abortion is murder. You're killing an unborn child. One of the best things that I've heard as far as the explanation is concerned, and people need to think about it, is like, if it's not alive, then why do you have to kill it? I mean, doesn't that really say a lot? But anyway, that's when Miss Davis became a hero to these folks on the left, crusading, standing up to those mean bullies, the conservatives, in the state of Texas, appeasing to the death cult. And they run her not necessarily because they even think she has a chance to win, but it's a way of getting big money funneled in. It's more of that incrementalism. So Texas state politics right now is highly visible, needs to be even further on the radar for conservatives, because Texas is, in fact, one of the last pure vestiges of true conservative thought. They are ruggedly independent. They are individuals that exist based on the concepts of individual freedom, liberty, and it's all about doing what you need to do to be free. Don't count on the government. Don't expect the government to be what is or isn't what's going to take care of you. Be self-sufficient. Be individual freedom. So I'm sure by now you have heard it said on a multitude of occasions. As Texas goes, so goes the nation. When it comes to conservative values and the very heart and soul of the United States, I was hoping to already have Ken on the line with us, and I'm not sure if anything is holding him up. Hopefully, here in a little bit, he'll be joining us. But in the meanwhile, we'll continue discussing this rally just a little bit, and if we can't get a hold of him momentarily, then we'll shift gears and we'll talk about a few other things until we can make arrangements. Unfortunately, one of the things about doing live radio is sometimes – well, things happen. Here's the thing about the Patriot Rally. I know that this rally is being billed as just for people who love America. They have a ton of folks coming from across the country to come and be keynote speakers, to give speeches, to help promote conservative ideologies and conservative values. And that right now is as important as anything else in the world. As I mentioned before, however, we have a world that's literally burning down. We have things going on in the Ukraine. We have a full-scale invasion of part of Ukraine by Russia. They literally hold an entire territory, despite dire warnings from our illustrious leaders. We have who knows what level of violence and unrest going on in Venezuela right now as the pro-democracy forces once again try to claim back what Hugo Chavez took from them. Despite nearly a media blackout here in the States. So why talk about this rally? Why devote such a big block of time to it today as I have intended? It's simple. I see reason to be hopeful. If enough people from enough different walks of life pull together to push for the idea of saving our Constitution, then we can continue to be that shining beacon on top of the hill. We are and rightfully should be the shining example of what individual liberty should be. We've lost a lot of those liberties, had them taken from us. But sadly, more often than not even really had them taken as much as a lot of us have sat back and given them up. Trading liberty for a false sense of security, and that is not acceptable. And that's not a Tea Party idea. It's not some radical ultra-left idea. It is a simple, straight-to-the-point, focused idea from someone who wants to be free. We've got to stop hiding behind excuses like, oh, it's the law. And we've got to stop sitting back and waiting for other people to do it for us. Thank goodness for the people that are doing things like putting together this rally, and not only the folks behind the scenes that are putting it together, but for the folks that are willing to give their time to go and participate and be active in this struggle to remind Americans that we are all united in our fate. if we give up our liberties without fighting to keep them, then we didn't deserve them. We have generations of men who have fought and died and bled for this country because they wanted to pass down the blessings of liberty to their children and grandchildren and all those who would come after them that weren't related to them. It's not a matter of joy. No one wants to go and fight and possibly die. But once you've had freedom, once you've tasted personal liberty, how can you dare give it up? Unfortunately, we have generations of people who have grown up in this country that haven't actually tasted true liberty. They have lived under the thumb of government oppression. Now, it's certainly not packaged that way. It doesn't look like oppression. It looks like help. It looks like assistance. Welfare, food stamps. And don't get me wrong. A safety net's not necessarily a bad idea. I don't necessarily think it's the role of the federal government to do that, but whether you think that or not, the fact that there are so many people that have grown up who are accustomed to having to jump through the hoops that the federal government puts in the way, they stop questioning. They stop questioning what's going on, and they just jump through those hoops in exchange for whatever gifts are given. And what's even more tragic is those people no longer stop to think about where are those gifts coming from. How many people have you talked to that just come up and say, hey, well, the government's got plenty of money. The government does not have plenty of money. The government has exactly no money of its own. It takes its money from other citizens. There was a time in this country where we would not stood for taking handouts. American pride made it difficult to accept charity. We wanted to do things for ourselves, and we wanted to be an example to our children and our neighbors of what we needed to do in order to survive. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps and keep fighting the good fight. But even then, charity, honest to goodness charity, that's what we should be offering our friends and our neighbors who need it. Government handouts only crush the human spirit. But that's nothing new. That's nothing you haven't already heard. And I'm certainly not the first person to come up with that idea or to verbalize it. But getting people to believe it, getting people to accept it because they have been blinded by generations of being in this cycle, that's the hard part. Reaching out to people who believe that they should vote a certain way or they should think a certain way because they're a certain gender or because they are a certain ethnic background or because their skin tone is a certain shade. Those are the stereotypes that we conservatives have to fight against each and every day in delivering our common sense message. And that's what it comes down to. Conservative values, especially on fiscal issues, is common sense. People understand living within your means, saving for a rainy day, trying to buy things that you can afford rather than putting more and more stuff on your credit. to the point that you no longer can afford to pay the interest on your credit. That's where our government's at. That's why the Tea Party exists, because we have seen the failures of both the Republicans and the Democrats. We all know the Democrats, for the most part, on the national level, have been devoured by the so-called progressives. And again, I keep calling them so-called because there's nothing truly progressive about the progressives. They just want to destroy the Constitution. They believe that the Constitution is an impediment to their agenda. And in honesty, it is. It was meant to be. The Constitution was designed to keep the power of this country, the sovereign authority of this nation, in the hands of the individual citizens. That's its purpose. The Tea Party arose from people being fed up with the fact that the so-called conservative party, the establishment Republicans, have become more concerned about winning elections. They don't particularly have a great strategy towards winning, I might add. They become more concerned about winning elections than they are concerned about solving problems, espousing conservatism. There is a small handful of people in the Senate and the House that are doing their darndest to try and express these conservative values and to stand firm on principles and truly serve the people of their districts. In the process, if their ideas, if their notions of conservatism would be expanded to a point where we could start pushing a more conservative agenda through both the House and the Senate, then all the people of the United States would be better served. Now, still not sure what is going on with Ken. I have not heard back from him yet. I have tried contacting him, and I may try something else here briefly. And I apologize for those of you who were listening in today, hoping to hear him, because I was looking very much forward to getting to speak with him as well. Ken is someone that I had actually had eyes on contacting and trying to get him on the show in the past from the minute that I became personally affiliated with TeaPartyCommunity.com. I love the social media site. I think they're doing a fantastic job. For those of you who aren't familiar with TeaPartyCommunity.com, I highly recommend you check it out. It is essentially Facebook without all the annoying liberals. Occasionally a troll gets through, but the mediators do a pretty good job of keeping that under control. You'll find a lot of like-minded people there if you are conservative or if you're full-blown Tea Party. You know, it's possible to be conservative without seeing yourself as being a Tea Party kind of person. What's kind of tragic is the fact that so many people think they have to separate themselves from the Tea Party. Seem to think that somehow that's a negative thing. Those are mostly folks who don't know or don't understand what the Tea Party is about. It essentially is a movement that has grown from the desire to bring back constitutional limitations on our government and primarily to try and stop the out-of-control spending. Of course, what has happened since then is the media and all the fine folks on the left see this uprising of American ideology and conservative values as a threat. And as a threat, They tried to squash it. So once again, they start throwing out the labels of racism and, oh, we're just a bunch of haters and a bunch of racists. And one of the things that I'm really looking forward to getting to talk to Derek Wilburn later is he's one of the people that kind of flies in the face of that notion. He's a man who's worked very hard over the past few years to try and get the message to minority groups that conservative values isn't about skin tone. Ultimately, when you get outside of the liberal bastages of New York, California, most Americans are more conservative than they realize, whether they think about it or not. We mostly have the same desires and hopes that everyone else does. We want a better life for our family. For those of us who are willing to work hard and push hard and do the things to be successful, we want to be able to reap the benefits of that success when we do that. We want freedom. And freedom is not just a buzzword, much like our good friends in the press corps in the White House tend to think. Freedom is not a buzzword. Individual liberty is about being able to make choices on your own and controlling your destiny, not having it laid out for you by the government. So the Patriots Rally for Freedom, you can find a series of links and websites in today's show description that will take you to the Patriots Rally for Freedom, their website. You can find all the information from all the keynote speakers and everyone else, details, times, the purpose, what they're hoping to achieve. You also can find the link that will take you to teapartycommunity.com. You can find a link that will take you to Conservatives of Color, Facebook for Conservative Colors, Facebook link for Derek Wilburn personally and his YouTube channel. So you can check out some of this information on your own. So you don't have to just take my word for it, and you don't have to take just the word for it of today's guest. The idea of what these people are hoping to accomplish, they want to gather to rally Americans to restore the United States of America to one of constitutional governance. Now, that's not a left or a right idea. The progressives, who are not Democrats, they're not even liberals, they are people that just want to destroy the Constitution. They're against it. The actual, honest-to-goodness liberals, for the longest time, fought for freedom of speech. And they fought for transparency in government. The progressives don't care much for that type of transparency. They've invited some of the nation's leading speakers on critical issues and, more importantly, solutions affecting faith, family, and livelihood. They want to shine a light on what's happening, not just in Texas, but all of America. They have a wide range of speakers and performing artists who are coming to this rally, not just to entertain you, but to try to help reach you with a message that the fight is in your hands. These people have started the charge, but we need everyone to keep the charge going. We live in a time where the NSA is monitoring every email we send, checking every text that comes from our phones, and collecting it all, saving it to some point where it's convenient for them to use that information against us. Oh, no, that will never happen, according to the powers that be. But that's just more incrementalism. And as long as we stand for it, as long as we allow it, they'll take the next step. The editorial monitors that were going to be sent out, and we talked about this last week, we're going to send these editorial monitors to newsrooms from the FCC to make sure that content decisions were being made in a fashion that would serve all communities and not just one community. And by communities, they're talking about minorities. A spotlight was put on that plan, and I have yet to hear an explanation actually exactly how the FCC thought they had the authority or could make the argument for them to insert themselves into newspaper newsrooms, as the FCC has no authority over newspapers. But it wasn't just newspapers. They were going to go into newspapers and radio stations and television stations. Now, TV and radio, they have some authority over, but what authority do they have in attempting to control the editorial section? Of course, they said it was just to take a look at how these were being done. Well, of course, that was so they could make future regulations. It was about controlling content, whether you want to acknowledge that or not. There's no other reason to do that. But the spotlight got shined on it. People, mostly in the conservative side of media, spoke up, and loudly. And people noticed. It's hard to come up with some excuse to cover for the fact that this was another stepping stone towards a more direct takeover, a more direct level of control over these newspapers, over the radio, over content. That's what they were up to. So at any rate, let's go ahead, let's take a quick break, and after the break's over, we'll continue. Stay with me. I will be right back. Thanks.
Tap into the truth. Listen in live every Sunday at 3 p.m. Check us out at tapintothetruth.com for our latest blog posts and for links to all of our past broadcasts. Don't forget to like us on Facebook and to follow us on Twitter. That's Tap Into the Truth every Sunday at 3 p.m.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for staying with us. Just got off the line and was just informed that Ken is unfortunately feeling very under the weather. So he's very apologetic without being able to attend on today's broadcast. But I want to make sure that everyone out there sends their best wishes and sends a prayer up that Ken comes out of this cold or flu, whatever this bug happens to be, and I hope he's feeling better real soon. Certainly do understand, though, there's been a lot of stuff going around. There's no question about it. And I do hope that Mr. Krogh is feeling a lot better very soon. I know most of the folks listening to the show feel the same way. Ken has made a significant impact on a lot of people as far as what he's done with helping to found Tea Party Community. A big part of what TeaPartyCommunity.com has done is it's allowed people who thought maybe they were the only ones who felt the way that they do when it comes to American politics to come together and realize, hey, you know what? I am not alone. I'm not a lone voice. And that, to me, is one of the greatest tools that any conservative can have, being able to network with other conservatives, being able to express ideas without having to worry that your words are going to be taken out of context or that your thoughts are going to be twisted. You can make a statement, and those statements can be twisted. And you don't have to worry about that happening at TeaPartyCommunity.com. I've often said before, one of the reasons why the left has been able to convince so many people that, oh, conservatives in general, whether they're Tea Party conservatives or middle-of-the-road conservatives or just social conservatives or even just fiscal conservatives, one of the reasons the folks on the left have been able to make conservatives look like they're racist or sexist or just uncaring is because we often say things with the idea of everyone being equal. And we don't stop to think what someone that doesn't have one of these biases in their heart would perceive that to mean. You can make a statement about Social Security should have never existed. Now, if you're a strict constitutionalist, you can make that case, and it has nothing to do with not liking old people or being against government having some level of a safety net to help someone. It has to do with the fact of knowing that our federal government, strictly constitutionally speaking, has no business being in, quote, the retirement planning. And it doesn't. So you can make that case. But what happens, say you're trying to pass legislation requiring child booster seats to age 11. Now the folks on the left may very well just be trying to help repay a favor from someone that manufactures booster seats. Maybe they made a major contribution to their campaign. But as soon as a conservative speaks up and say, is this necessary, suddenly you're painted as being against the children. The popular battle cry of the left being, it's for the children. Sometimes when you try to apply common sense is not allowed to stand on its own. We don't have to worry about that kind of thing. So, again, Ken Crowe, thank you very much. Everybody at Tea Party Community, thank you for giving conservatives a place where they can go, they can vent, and they don't have to worry about having their thoughts and their words twisted. You can bounce ideas off each other. You can connect. And one of the reasons why the co-founder of TeaPartyCommunity.com was coming on to talk about Patriots Rally for Freedom is because they're one of the sponsors of this event. Now, I had hoped to let Ken talk about that himself. You know, I'd hope to talk about this rally with him and talk about how Texas politics is being assaulted right now by the political left. And I wanted to talk a little bit about the formation of Tea Party Community and why he felt it was necessary. And hopefully we'll be able to get him on again at some other point in time, and we can have those discussions, because I think that's a great discussion to have. Why did you feel it was necessary to make this social media platform available? And what is it you guys have done to help make it as successful as it has? Because Tea Party Community continues to grow. They continue to make new associations, both in the media and through individual membership. I'm proud to say that I am a member at TeaPartyCommunity.com. Proud to say that I've been there for a while. I'm proud to say that members of the Tea Party community listen to this show. One of the things that Tea Party community has done for me is it's put me in touch with people like Dr. Sharon Schutz, who has been on the show more times than I can count at this point, talking to me about different issues. She is a writer, and she is one of the founders of Lady Patriots, and she's a good friend of the show and a good friend of me, and I was able to make that connection through Tea Party community. I've had several guests on the show that I have connected with through them. So they are doing exactly what we as conservatives must do, exactly what this rally is intended to do, and that is improve communication between like-minded conservatives to try and help show the everyday Americans that aren't that active in politics, who maybe take the mainstream media at face value, who are too busy with the jobs of raising their families and working 9 to 5, if they're fortunate enough to have full-time employment, I should add. Maybe they're too busy to pay as close of attention as we should be. This past weekend, I spent some time with my youngest daughter, and we went to go see the Lego movie finally. She'd kind of wanted to see it since it first came out. We went and did that on a daddy-daughter day. And I came away from that movie feeling really good about the fact that you're getting some stuff from Hollywood now that's kind of flying in the face of staying asleep. Early on, in a very obvious way, they make the point that you're supposed to follow instructions, and while you're following the instructions, we're also going to numb you by pop culture with stupid TV shows and pointed messages in the pop music to keep you distracted from what's going on around you. So wake up from that and pay attention. There were several other messages in this movie, too, that are also very positive, pro-family, pro-conservative value. And I liked it. I felt good about it when it was done. So if you haven't seen it already, I recommend it. I mean, most of the humor was directed more towards an older audience than you would expect for a Lego movie. But it had a lot of messages there that unless you were paying attention, you may not notice. Some of it was very obvious, though, especially if you are paying attention. So my point being a simple one, I see these glimmers of hope. This Patriots Rally for Freedom is one such glimmer of hope. The fact that we have movement, and we'll go in the second hour, we'll discuss a little more about the Justina Pelletier case. But we have movement there as well, showing that we have reasons to feel positive. There's glimmers of hope. Americans are waking up to the fact that there's stuff that we can and should be doing. I cannot express enough how important this kind of work is, though. So I'm very much still looking forward to talking to Derek Wilburn. He should be coming online with us here in just a little bit. I'm looking forward to talking to him not only just about this rally, but also about his efforts to try and help bring a message of conservative values to Americans of all creeds and colors and helping them to understand that it is not about what color you are, It's about wanting individual liberty and how to achieve it. Also, a little later in the show, we'll be discussing the veto of the religious freedom bill that took place in Arizona earlier this week. We'd like to get some feedback both in the chat room and any live callers once we get to that point, but I will not be taking callers until after my conversation with Mr. Wilburn is completed. But I would like to get your take on those items, both of them, both the veto in Arizona and the continuation of issues taking place in the Pelletier case, because there has been some movement there, and that has been because of media folks like Glenn Beck, Fox News' Megyn Kelly, people that have picked up the case since then, that are shining a bright spotlight on the fact that the state is moving to a point where they believe that they own our children. So we have to keep an eye on cases like this, and we have to be ready to respond, and we have to offer our support to the parents. Every time we report on a story about cops doing something stupid, I'm always torn. Because most police officers are great people doing a tough job the best they can. And every time a bad apple makes headlines, it makes them all look bad. And I hate to have to report those kinds of stories. But when that happens, or when it doesn't happen, the point still remains that by reporting on those stories, we shine a light, and hopefully none of the other bad ones get a bright idea of trying to get away with it. But it's important that we remind everyone that the good ones are still trying to do a great job. But I'm torn. I'm always torn with those. At any rate, I'm going to go ahead and take another quick break. And after that, hopefully we'll have our conversation with Mr. Derek Wilburn. So stay with me. We'll be right back.
Tap into the truth. Listen in live every Sunday at 3 p.m. Check us out at tapintothetruth.com for our latest blog posts and for links to all of our past broadcasts. Don't forget to like us on Facebook and to follow us on Twitter. That's Tap Into the Truth every Sunday at 3 p.m.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, with me, joining me on the line right now is Mr. Derek Wilburn. He is founder of American Conservatives of Color, and he's been very active through several other activities as well, websites, the whole nine. But let me let him tell you a little bit about that. But first, let's talk about this Patriots Rally for Freedom. How are you today, Derek?
I am sitting here, my brother, going through filing of taxes. So if that doesn't answer your question, I don't know what will.
Well, I think that about covers it.
Oh, man, this system. Yeah, if you've got two left-handed children, skip to line G. If you don't, skip to line J, blah, blah, blah. But other than that, I'm doing good, man. I'm up here in we're in Colorado Springs, Colorado. It's my hometown, and it's a beautiful part of the country. Got a little bit of weather today, which always works for me. I like a little bit of snow. So I'm living well, man. Yourself?
Well, actually, thanks for asking. We're expecting a little bit of weather to come through a little later. Unfortunately, ours is supposed to be ice, which is never fun. Snow I can handle. Ice, Not so much.
I hear you. Well, the Patriots Rally for Freedom, to answer your question, the Patriots Rally for Freedom is coming up here 2 weeks from yesterday, actually, March 15th in San Antonio, Texas. Actually, I think it's in San Marcos, a little town just outside of San Antonio. And the speaker lineup is getting very impressive. I think this is going to be a significant event. And the whole idea is, you know, Texas has to get held. No matter whether people call themselves Republican, Libertarian, Conservative, Tea Party, or, you know, whatever, at the end of the day, Texas has to stay red. And we are kicking off the 2014 campaign and election season with a strong statement deep in the heart of Texas saying to the liberals, look, you are wasting your time, effort, energy, and money on Texas. You will never, ever flip this state blue. Pack up and go home.
Well, you know, what I find amazing is the fact that organizations like Battleground Texas is able to rally around a figure like Miss Wendy Davis and manage to fund so much money to help prop up her campaign when there are still so many questions about her background and how trustworthy she is just because she stood up to try and protect abortion in the state of Texas. But
yeah,
you're
it's amazing.
Right.
It's amazing what makes people heroes to the left.
It is. We've really got to make a concerted effort to make sure that people understand that this isn't about all those things that the left likes to claim. Oh, there's a war on women. Oh, we hate minorities. Oh, conservatives are just bad people. All the lies have to be shown as such. And I think you and your efforts, what a lot of folks may not realize is you have spent a great deal of time working on trying to send the message to all Americans that conservative values isn't about skin tone. It's about what's in your heart. You are the president and chairman of the board of the Rocky Mountain Black Tea Party. You are part of the Rocky Mountain Black Conservatives. You have a website, blackandconservative.com. You've been working on trying to just show people and tell people and explain it, hey, this isn't about anything other than trying to apply some common sense to political ideology.
You are you're absolutely right.
I was just going to ask you, how much resistance do you get in spreading that message?
You know, you can't really quantify it. It's tough to say how much resistance because what does that look like? I'll tell you what. The way I look at this thing and the way I try to message this to conservatives, to Republicans, to libertarian, or whatever you want to call yourself, is – we win on policy. Where we lose, of course, is in relationship. So from a strictly policy standpoint, conservative principles make sense for everybody. They're far superior. Anybody and everybody knows that. It's actually fairly easy to defend. I have a formula that I call for reals. Facts, reason, evidence, logic, statistics. On those five, we always win. So the issue isn't so much policy. It's lack of relationship. So I work with trying to broker the relationship and try to teach conservatives how to develop relationships with the ethnic minority populations in their communities. Once the relationship is in place, then you can pursue the votes. Then you can start talking policy. We're not there yet. You know, we're not to the point where you know, the mistake, here's what the Republicans have been doing for 50 years. They put up the Democrat guy or girl and say, here's what they believe in. Then they put up themselves and say, here's what we believe in, therefore vote for us. That's the wrong strategy. The first thing that Republicans need to find out is how many kids do you have? You know what I'm saying? What struggles are you having in the community? Is the school at the end of the street functioning and working well for you? Developing and building relationship first and pursuing the votes second. And for evidence of that, Tim, you don't have to look any further than Detroit, Michigan. Everyone knows what's going on in Detroit. The city is a shell of its former self. It's over in Detroit. Detroit is the most heavily per capita black city in the country, about 88%. There ain't no white people in Detroit. It's 88% black. Yet come November, of those blacks, 80 or 90% are going to go in the booth and vote for Democrats again. So obviously the problem isn't policy. Clearly, I mean, if the problem were policy, there wouldn't be a black person in Detroit who would even consider voting for a Democrat. So that's not the issue. The issue is lack of relationship.
Okay. Certainly sounds reasonable. So why is it that the Republican Party, where the conservatives are supposed to live, have had such a hard time understanding that? It seems to me like at the grassroots level, when you see state-level elections, you have a lot of that face-to-face time. National elections, not so much. Why haven't we been able to translate that conservative message to relationships first? Or is that still a mystery?
It's not a mystery. I believe it is flawed campaign strategy. I think at some point in the past, and I don't know who or when or where, and neither do you, but at some point, someone made the conscious decision. They said, look, we can't get those votes anyway, so why invest the time, effort, resources into pursuing votes that we can't get? You know, why spend all that time, effort, and money trying to go from 7% to 8%? Instead, we'll go after those independents, we'll go after those women, we'll go after that mushy middle that everyone's always after. And that was okay 30 years ago when you could win 53, 54% of the Caucasian vote in the country and still win the election. But the demographics of America have changed. America is turning brown. So now those chickens are coming home to roost. What's happening is the demographic face of the country is changing. The demographic face of the Democrat Party is changing with it. The demographic face of the Republican Party is not. And whoever made that decision, 1955, 1965, 1975, who knows? It made sense then, and it worked then, but now that ideal has outlived its usefulness. And if we don't pivot and change and start addressing the changing demographics of the country, we could lose Texas. And if we lose Texas, we lose our republic.
Right. All right, well, I guess my bigger question is, why have the establishment Republicans been so slow to recognize this? I mean, if it's so obvious that this is the flawed campaign philosophy, why are there still so many folks that seem to cling to the idea that this is the way we should do it? Is this just old, tired thinking that folks don't want to let go of? Or is there still some other political ideology at play here?
You know, I think it's a little bit of both. There certainly is an element in the, quote, establishment that says, why bother? We saw this in the Romney campaign. I experienced this personally here in the state of Colorado, where essentially they said, we can't get those votes anyway. It's going to be a close election. We're going to focus our time and effort on votes that we can get. In terms of local and on-the-ground work, and to some degree, this actually does make a little bit of sense. It's twisted and it's warped, but it does make sense. So say I'm a candidate for city council, county commission, state representative, you know, whatever. And I'm slugging it out, going to meet and greets in people's homes, getting donation checks of $25 here, $50 there. I have a very limited campaign budget. I've managed to pull together, you know, whatever, $30,000. Am I going to spend 15% of what little funding I've got to message to voters that I know are probably not going to vote for me? Or am I going to work where I think I can have the most bang for my buck? So what's happened is you've got consultants, and you and I can name some of these names, but what these people say to the client, to the candidate, is, look, for every white vote that I get you, it's going to cost you $1.17. For every black vote that I get you, it's going to cost you $8.95. Where do you want me to spend your money? And that's just math.
So,
and that's part of the reason we got to where we are today.
So basically it's just still part of this beltway mentality that the polls are reality and there's no reason to try and fight the polling data.
Yeah, to some degree. Now, there's certainly other reasons. There are cultural reasons. I mean, a lot of white people, you know, don't understand the culture, don't understand the neighborhoods, feel very uncomfortable, feel very out of place. It isn't an easy thing to do, and nobody wants to do things that are uncomfortable. We tend to seek comfortability. So there is that component of it, too. But now what you have is a rising class of black and Hispanic conservative leaders. I like to think of myself as being in that group, saying, you know, look, we look right. You know, we understand the culture. We can go down there. Empower us. If you aren't willing to do it, fine. Come in behind people like myself, behind Star Parker, behind C.L. Bryant, behind Kevin Jackson, Ben Carson, Alan West. There's a class of us. And then you provide us with resources, and we'll go do the dirty work. And that's, you know, welcome to my world, fighting that war.
Well, part of the way you fight that war is on your own talk show. And I was curious, on the talk show, do you have any pushback on air when you express conservative values?
Not typically. You know, we're a webcast like yourself. We're on Truth Be Told Media. And what happens is you tend to do a lot of preaching to the choir.
If people
are paying a subscription fee or whatever to listen to your show, chances are it's not the same as you're getting with an over-the-air audience. So on the radio show, not so much. On the streets, a little bit more. But again, I'm not pushing a political agenda. I'm pushing the need for a relationship.
Right. Yeah, I always like asking other talk show hosts questions about what led them to get into doing a talk show. It's always a personal road that leads you to do this. And usually there is some passion, some burning desire to change people's lives in a positive direction. Would you care to share a little bit of what took you to that point and then made you decide to do the website, to start these different activities that you're doing?
I can. And, you know, we can tie this back into the rally in Texas quite easily because, for me, I've been fundamentally conservative for 25 years. I mean, to me, some certain things, you know, what does your skin color have to do with it? It's just ridiculous the way we blacks beat one another up for having a difference of opinion. But I came to Colorado in 2002, left California, had to get the heck out of there because it was just out of control. And when I came to Colorado, this state was solidly red. And I watched it turn purple and now go solidly blue. Well, we have a far left of center governor, two far left of center senators, and Democrat-controlled House and Senate. And that happened almost exclusively because the Democrat Party did a better job of capturing the brown vote. So I said, you know, if this is going to happen in Colorado, we can turn it around. If we get out and message to our black and brown brothers and sisters the truth of principles of conservatism, the truth of principles of self-empowerment, of empowering entrepreneurialism, of low taxation, of all that stuff that we believe in. But then I got to looking around and I realized that what's going on here is a concerted effort. The left controls the coasts, right? They control the left coast. They control the right coast. Over here, you've got Oregon, Washington, California, done deal. Over here, you have New York, Massachusetts, New Jersey, New Hampshire, Maine, done deal. And now they're trying to get into the cowboy states, you know, the Mountain West. They got Colorado. They got New Mexico. And now they want to start moving into Wyoming, Utah, Idaho, Montana, Texas, you know, start taking these states down one at a time. And I said, I can't just sit back and let this happen. I was getting tired of watching the news and being frustrated, so I decided I'm going to do something about it. And that's when I started the Rocky Mountain Black Tea Party, and it just kind of grew legs from there. Oh, so Texas. So your list. Let me squeeze this in. I'll take another question. And your listeners probably already know this, but it's important we go over it. The way the Electoral College map breaks out is California is the king. Of course, California has 55 Electoral College votes. Texas is number 2 with 38. And then behind California and Texas, there's 4 other states that have more than 30, and that's it. No other state has more than 30. So the way this works is California gets its 55, that's blue. That patient is dead on the table. There's nothing we can do about that. It's not going to switch. Texas has 38, and then you combine Texas with some of the other cowboy states, Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, South Dakota. There are no people there. They only have 3 Electoral College votes each. But you combine them with Texas, that cancels out California, and now the battle is on for everything else. If Texas ever flips and goes red, so those 55 go blue, Texas flips and goes blue, California's 55 go Democrat, Texas's 38 go Democrat, it's over. It would be statistically impossible. There will be no path to the White House for another Republican ever. That's how important this rally is.
Well, yeah, it is one of those things that I think a lot of people lose track of the numbers, and unfortunately there are still way too many people that don't understand how the Electoral College works anyway, and unfortunately our public education system is not doing the job it should be doing in actually teaching young minds how things work in our government. Now, that's part of why I think it's very important that we have folks, especially folks from Texas, like Ted Cruz, for example, that are leading the way to try and help maintain constitutional constraints on our government. We are slipping closer and closer to a full-on dictatorship, for lack of a better word. And people, you know, you use that terminology and people get up in arms and they act like you're the one being unreasonable. But, I mean, you are absolutely right with those numbers, and that's a very sobering fact that so many people just, they miss because they don't sit back and count those numbers except if they're watching Election Day results.
Yep, and while people sleep is of course, when they're doing their work. So, yeah, you need 270 to win, and the way our nation is going is the Conservative Party. And I hesitate to even call the Republican Party that, but we understand. We only have 2 parties. The Conservative Party is increasingly losing its ability to capture the urban vote. So in the last election, the popular vote was about 50-50, like it always is. Barack Obama got 50.6% of the popular vote. But Mitt Romney, with his 50% of the popular vote, he only got 206 of the necessary 270 Electoral College votes. It wasn't even close. It was an epic beatdown in that regard. And the reason why is because the Republican Party is winning the Electoral College votes in all the states that nobody lives in. You know, if Obama carries California, New York, Illinois, Florida, Ohio, Pennsylvania, then yeah, it's great to win South Dakota. It's great to win Montana, but there are no people. So unless we find a way to appeal to the urban vote, we got a big problem. And you look at the urban population centers in our country, and what do you have there? You have concentrations of black and brown people. And that's why we have got to get this act together and start developing a message to appeal to the ethnic minority voters, or we got big problems.
Okay. Well, on a similar vein then, what do you think in regards to comprehensive immigration reform? What would be the best tack there, in your opinion?
You know, the notion that all Hispanics in this country are in favor of blanket amnesty is absolutely not true. It isn't true at all. That proposal appeals to the people who are here illegally. They want that, of course, but they can't vote. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. Most of them can't vote. So we don't have to craft a message to the Hispanic population saying we're in favor of blanket amnesty for illegals, because neither are they. It's easy to make the mistake of assuming that the Hispanic population is the illegal population and vice versa, but that's not true. Same with Asians, same with people who immigrate here from anywhere. And the principles of conservatism make sense for any race, creed, and color. You see people who immigrate to this country from Mexico, from Korea, from wherever they come from, and no matter what city in the country you're in, you see this all the time. They got junior out front sweeping the porch, sweeping the sidewalk, mom standing at the hostess station, seating people at tables, daughter waiting on the tables, dad's in the kitchen cooking the food, grandpa's washing the dishes. They're just here making it happen. They're entrepreneurs. Right. They're conservatives. They are looking for a reason to vote for the Republican Party other than amnesty. It's a mistake to think that's what they want.
You know, I've been saying a similar thing for some time. I personally know three different families here locally, all immigrated here legally, two of them from Mexico, one from Guatemala. And, you know, I don't have large in-depth conversations on a regular basis because I just know them from the neighborhood. But we have conversations. And when we have had these discussions, there is overwhelming anger, the fact that people would bend over backwards to allow illegals the same benefits and the same legal status that they fought and worked really hard to get doing it the legal way. But why then is it so hard for the Republican Party to understand that, and they just keep falling for the Democrat trap? I mean, where is the disconnect is in your experience?
You know, I don't know what's with these Republicans. I really don't. They end up playing defense and playing the Democrats' game on a regular basis, because you're right. Appealing to illegal immigrants and appealing to immigrants is not the same thing. So why they can't figure this out, I don't know. But it would be as simple as crafting a message around the for reals: facts, reason, evidence, logic, statistics. If we have, and I'm making some of these numbers up because I don't have them committed to memory, but let's just say we have 28% of the Hispanic population in this country occupying menial labor jobs, okay, unskilled labor jobs, janitorial services, fast food, you know, whatever they may be. Let's say that's 28%, and there are, let's say, 40 million of those jobs available. If we make 12 million people wave a magic wand and poof, you're now a citizen of this country, congratulations. Well, there's 12 million more people competing with you for those 40 million jobs. This isn't rocket science. This is just basic math. Mr. and Mrs. Hispanic, we are flooding the job market, the wage earners in the niche that you occupy, with people who didn't even pay the price to come be here. The first thing they did was break our laws just to get on our soil. And now we're going to punish you by giving them access to the jobs that you and your children and your family occupy. We don't think that's the right way to go. Boom. There it is, three sentences. And I just told the Republicans how to message this thing in a way that Hispanics that are in this country legally, that were born here, that are U.S. citizens, can say, wow, that makes sense. It's just not that hard.
Right.
But they end up playing catch-up. They end up playing the Democrats' game. They end up chasing their own tails. And they just can't figure it out.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it really is mind-boggling when you step back. Because, again, you hear these same ideas. And by the way, I'm going to take a second here. I love the for reals, by the way. haven't heard anybody else put it in that format before, and I like that.
You can give me credit for it. The first time you use it, after that, it's all yours.
All right. Well, I will give you credit regardless because you gave up with that. I'm not somebody that goes in and steals other folks' catchphrases, but I do love it, and I probably will use it. But, I mean, ultimately, though, we hear this on conservative talk radio. We see this in other conservative media. The bottom line is this discussion that we're having, hey, legal immigrants are not on board with illegal immigrants by and large. Just tell it like it is, and let's be straight up, and this will work in messaging. But they still don't get it, and it's very frustrating. It's very frustrating.
That's why grassroots people like you and me and the organizers of the Patriots Rally for Freedom, that's why we're stepping up and doing it for them. Because they've demonstrated they're incompetent.
Right. Well, let's go back to the Rally for Freedom. Now, you are the MC of the event as well as a featured speaker?
Apparently so.
Okay. who else? What are some of the other big names that folks are going to recognize that are going to be here that you're aware of right now?
You know, anyone can visit PatriotsRallyForFreedom.com to get the complete speaker lineup, and that changes. But it's Patriots Rally for Freedom, the number four, not the word four, PatriotsRallyForFreedom.com. There is myself, Wayne Dupree, NewsNinja.com. A lot of people follow Wayne Dupree. If they don't, they should. Rumors have been swirling quite rapidly as of late. Rumors are swirling that some heavy hitters are going to be stepping in. Ted Nugent, I believe, is on the speaker's roster. We understand that talks are in place with Herman Cain, and the chances are better than average that Herman Cain will be speaking. Ted Cruz, you mentioned his name. I believe that the word is coming back from his camp in the next day or two, but it looks like he is going to confirm. And you didn't hear this from me, but apparently a former governor of the state of Alaska may be in the mix as well.
Ah. Well, that certainly would be an attention-getting addition. It sounds like a lot of work's been put into this, as well it should be. And I want to go ahead and thank you for your time, not only today, but your time with this rally as well. Like I said earlier, you've been at this now for a while, trying to get the message out that this is about individual liberty, and that comes from self-empowerment, and that's not an issue of skin color or ethnic background. It's just a matter of common sense in a lot of cases. You've dedicated a lot of time and effort to that message, and I appreciate that, and I hope everyone else does too.
Thank you, brother. Keep up the good work and the fight yourself.
All right. Well, I'm doing what I can, what little bit that is. But I also want to go ahead and, in today's show description, I do have links to the website for Patriots Rally for Freedom, as well as I have all the links that you included in your emails when we were talking back and forth earlier as well. So you can find Derek Warburn's YouTube channel. You can find American Conservatives of Color's website. And you can find and follow-up information as far as all this is concerned. And please, please do check out Patriots Rally for Freedom. This is a big deal, not just because of who's going to be there, but because of what the message is. And it really is about pushing back against groups like Battleground Texas, whose only purpose is to try, at the end of the day, to try to destroy the Constitution and our individual liberties. Thank you very much for being on today. I do appreciate your time, giving up a little bit of your Sunday. God bless, and you have a great rest of your weekend, and good luck with that annual tax routine, sir.
Thank you, brother. I'll talk to you another time.
All right, sir. Thank you much, and I look forward to speaking to you again. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Derek Wilburn, and he is a very active in trying to spread the conservative message, and he is a patriot, plain and simple. He told you himself, out of California, went to Colorado. He's seen the transformation of Colorado from red through purple to blue. and it's about seeing the expansion of the so-called progressive agenda as it extends and permeates and tries to take control of the governments that exist in the states that have such an individual rugged quality to them. I mean, could you imagine a time, if we were 30 years ago, could you imagine a time where Utah or Colorado would pass strong gun control legislation, or a time when Texas would have a close race between a staunch conservative who's fought for justice in the form of Greg Abbott, who has been the state's attorney general, and someone who only became known largely statewide and then nationally because she stood up for abortion. These notions are preposterous to people who've been paying attention long term, but we see these struggles going on. And I mean, with full sincerity, I appreciate Derek Wilburn's effort. And I strongly encourage you, go to the show description, check out his website, check out his Twitter feed, check out his radio show. Because these are common sense ideas, folks. And you know, he said it himself. Here on the show, for a large percentage of the time, we are talking to the choir. We keep hoping that we'll reach those folks that aren't part of the choir, though. We keep hoping that we'll plant that little seed of individual thought to break you free from whatever ideologies had you brainwashed into believing that the progressives are the good guys. Because Democrats, liberals, the progressives are trying to lure you in. The progressives are not really part of who you are. Now, if you are a progressive, a true progressive, then you are an enemy of this nation. But there are a lot of people out there that self-describe as progressive because they've heard the whitewash of the word, the redefining that has become. And they think that, hey, we should be progressive. Now, if you want to use the word as it's defined in the dictionary, yes, we all should be progressive. We should move forward, embrace new things while holding on to traditions. But the people calling themselves progressive, and again, I know if you're a regular listener, this is probably going to be aggravating to you because I've said this a lot. If you are a so-called progressive, I always throw in the qualifier so-called because there's nothing truly progressive about the progressive movement other than wanting to move forward away from the Constitution. These people are dangerous because once they do away with your individual liberty and take away your sovereign authority as a citizen of this nation, then all that's left is the state. Your rights are gone. Your liberties are gone. That can't stand. These are dangerous times, ladies and gentlemen, made more so by actions going on elsewhere around the world. These are dangerous times. But again, I see those rays of hope. Patriots Rally for Freedom, a great opportunity for a lot of like-minded people to get together and explain the common sense. But we still have to bust through people's misconceptions. So many people have fallen for how conservatives, or at the very least they keep saying Republicans, have been painted in the mainstream media. We're a bunch of racists, we're a bunch of sexists, we're a bunch of elitists. When, for the most part, if you wipe off those rose-colored glasses that they have you looking through and you take a fresh look and see everything evenly and listen to the rhetoric and listen to the words, then it's easy to see that in lots of cases, it's just the opposite. So I feel like it really is our responsibility, everyone's responsibility, if you believe in a single conservative principle, whatever it might be, whether it's a social issue or a fiscal issue or whatever, then I feel like you have a responsibility as a flag bearer to explain not only how you feel, but why you feel that way to whoever will listen. That's part of why I'm on here. That's part of why other people take to the airwaves. That's why other people are hosting shows here on Blog Talk. That's why other people are hosting their shows on other internet networks and on terrestrial radio. They're taking the message of conservatism. And they know, sadly, that we are almost always going to be preaching to the choir, because the folks that buy in to the so-called progressive notions that don't understand the dangers, the liberties that they're giving up, these aren't bad people. They're just people that aren't paying attention. They're too busy listening to the pop station or listening to some god-awful rock or some horrible rap or whatever they've got where the message is violence and sex and whatever else, so that you come to accept that that's normal and natural and how we should be. And then that makes the rest of us sound like squares, like people that we just don't get it. We're behind the times. And this is a fight that we have been battling for decades. It's not about being square or behind the times. It's because we know the risk. It's because we know the dangers. Even the folks who have been part of the tinfoil hat crowd, who have been fighting for a long time to get people to listen to their warnings, now so much of what they've said is staring us all in the face. How long have we heard these folks saying, hey, the NSA is spying on us? Then not one apology. Once we find out that it's true, what comes down? We're simply told. Yep, we're doing it. But it's for your own good. We're doing it to protect you. I don't need that kind of protection. I don't think you need that kind of protection. And heaven help us, anybody who does believe that they need that kind of protection either hasn't thought about it much or they're so busy being absorbed by the pop culture, distracted by it, would be a much better term, that they're just lost. They're lost in the pop culture. That's where I get that folks like Glenn Beck, for example, is on the right track. In fact, before I knew that he had purchased this movie studio that he's picked up and he's somehow enrolling that in the Blaze network, you know, I was on a show over at the Lady Patriot Speaking Out. I had the opportunity and the pleasure of being a guest speaker. They were having other talk show hosts that were active here on Blog Talk and in other locations. And again, I appreciate that opportunity. So if any of the ladies catch this broadcast, again, thank you very much. Diane Sorte, Julia, and Diane, and of course, my good friend, Dr. Sharon. But then I said, what we really need to start doing to push back the ideas is get our messages back into the pop culture. We need television and movies. We need music where positive messages are in, but we've still got to reach them where they are. We've got talk radio sewed up. Progressive talk radio, liberal talk radio, they keep putting it on the air. it doesn't last too long. When I look through applications like Stitcher.com, which you can also find the podcast of this show afterwards, and podcast over at iTunes, most of what I find there are just recordings from the television media. There's not a lot of liberal talk radio. The market's not there. Nobody wants to hear these people talk. They can't compete in the arena of ideas. That's why they have to keep redefining words and keep redefining the meaning. They do that because it's the only way. Only by controlling what you think words mean can they have a chance of winning the argument, winning the debate. It's just in their wheelhouse. They can't do it. Most people do have some degree of common sense. Most people are, at some level, conservative. By reaching out and getting that small little seed of conservatism in each of these individuals and helping it to grow just a little bit, that's when we're going to start winning. All right. Now, I promised we would have updates on a couple other stories before the end of the show, and we are running dangerously close to time in order to put that in. So I'm going to take one more quick break. Would love to get input, especially from the folks in the chat room. I see there are a few guests in the chat room right now. None of the regulars today, though. In fact, the chat room's a little light today. Nobody's actually made a comment at this point. But if you guys would like to make a comment in regards to, we will talk about the veto in Arizona first. If you'd like to make a comment about that, please do so. And if anybody would like to call in with a comment in regards to it, please feel free. I'm going to go ahead and throw that number out now so you can call. That number is 347-426-3550. Or if you need to use the toll-free number, please feel free. That'll be 888-287-5313. And if you are right here on the Blog Talk site listening directly, you'll see a little Skype button. I've mentioned before, I'm still debating on whether or not I'm going to continue taking Skype calls because the last several times it's just been pranksters. But I'm open to it right now because I do want comments. I want reasonable comments. Please be respectful. And we will take that once I return from this quick break. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
Tap into the truth. Listen in live every Sunday at 3 p.m. Check us out at tapintothetruth.com for our latest blog posts and for links to all of our past broadcasts. Don't forget to like us on Facebook and to follow us on Twitter. That's Tap Into the Truth every Sunday at 3 p.m.
Yes, that's right. Every Sunday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, we do get started right here on Blog Talk. You also can find Tap Into the Truth at Spreaker.com. Usually, I broadcast about three shows a week. Those typically on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, although due to some personal issues, I have not been able to get all of those broadcasts here recently. So apologies to the regulars who check me out on a regular basis. I will be getting back, however, in that rhythm. I'd also like to remind folks that lots of times I run bumper music, and the music you hear during those bumper music segments, which I've not been doing today, but ordinarily I do. I do it a lot more over at Spreaker because the control board's a little bit easier to fade in and out over there. Hint, 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 folks at Blog Talk. But all the music that you'll hear is provided courtesy of a service known as magnitude. And the thing about magnitude is that service, I pay them for access to the tunes, and they pay the artists. But these artists are all independent. And I like the idea of helping independent artists because they don't have the backing of a major label. They're out here, they're doing it on their own, they're putting their money out. In a lot of ways, a lot like what I'm doing here with this show. So I love the idea of helping independent artists. Therefore, I like the idea of using Magnitude. And if you're looking to start your own podcast, maybe you might want to check them out too. And by the way, I don't get any kickbacks from that. However, if you're looking to start a website, please go to tapintothetruth.com and click on one of the iPage banners on any one of the pages there. I would get a little support from that, just a tiny bit, if you decide to use them. And you know what? I use iPage. I like iPage, and I think a lot of you guys would enjoy it too. In the meanwhile, let's get back to the topic, shall we? Anybody that wants to call in, once again, that number is 347-426-3550. We'd love comments. Also, I'll be looking for comments from the chat room. Again, so just a few guests in there. But I want to know what you guys think about Governor Brewer vetoing the Religious Protection Bill. I went on the air that night, and I commented based solely on what Jan Brewer's statement was. I hadn't had a chance to look at the bill at that point in time, and honestly, I had some stuff come up, and I haven't been able to finish looking at the bill, but I have started. I had hoped to have read the whole bill. I kept getting interrupted, so I haven't done that yet. So, again, I can't go into great details about what I think about the bill. But I said then that if Governor Brewer was vetoing the bill because she was genuinely concerned about the vagueness of the language, then I applauded that. Because the last thing anybody should want is unintended consequences. And, you know, I know I've said millions of times that I don't believe there's such a thing as unintended consequences when it comes to political bill writing, passage of laws. I mean, I don't believe in it anymore. I think way too many politicians have made a living out of making sure that certain things were in or certain things were intentionally left out of bills before they got voted on and signed into law. So I don't believe in unintended consequences anymore. I don't think there's been any legitimate unintended consequences in legislation, at least since the mid-70s. Again, that's just me. That's my opinion. And I'm willing to acknowledge that I could be wrong on that. Because there are still some decent, honest-to-goodness, reasonable people that are trying to do the best job they can. There are a few. I try not to be cynical and lump all politicians into that group. I really do. And when I see people like Ted Cruz, Mike Lee, Trey Gowdy, you know, folks like that, I know those folks are standing on principle and trying to do what they think is right. So that makes it easier for me not to just lump all politicians into this, oh, you're just in it for you lot. But what concerns me is that there was so much pressure put on Governor Brewer from outside sources, a lot of businesses. And the media really painted this bill as being so anti-gay that it got folks riled up. You know, not just the gay lesbian community, but a lot of other folks that are just anti, well, I guess anti-discrimination is the best word. A lot of folks that just, they get riled up about being anti-discrimination, and because they were buying into the fact that this bill was going to legalize discrimination. What I've read of it so far, and I'll admit, I've not gotten too far into it. But what I read about the bill so far, as it was written, there was some vagueness, but I didn't see any place in there, specifically, for example, that mentioned anything about sexual proclivities. Certainly nothing about sexual orientation. From what I've read so far, and I will, I promise, by the time this show airs again here on Blog Talk, I will have read the rest of the bill, and I will have a much better grip on what she may have been concerned about. But I didn't see that much vague language in this bill either. One thing's obvious, though. The way the media portrayed it was way off base from what I've read so far. Now, if I run into something a little later, I'll come back and I will admit that. I will tell you, okay, well, here's the thing. But from what I've read to this point and what I've heard from folks that say they've read it, there seems to be this concern that Governor Brewer basically just bowed to pressure from these outside sources. And she was concerned about what these businesses were saying. And several of them came out very publicly against the bill and expected her to veto it, wanted her to veto it, told her she must veto it. The NFL in particular came out saying, if you don't veto this bill, you're not going to get to host the Super Bowl. On one hand, I love seeing businesses have a social conscience. On the other hand, was this a true expression of a social conscience, or was this a case of these businesses bowing to outside pressure too, and then speaking up just so they wouldn't get on the naughty list of the pro-gay and lesbian agenda? Hello, Mary. Mary is in the chat room running catching up in the last 30 minutes of the show. Glad to see you here. It's been a pretty interesting show. Our first guest actually was ill today, and about midway through what would have been his time on the show, finally got word back. Our second guest, though, was very interesting, and I hope you'll go back and catch the podcast and hear what he had to say and hear that conversation that we had. And there's no need for apologies and certainly no need for explanations. I'm just glad you're able to make it here at this point, Mary. Mary's in the chat room. She's letting me know that she had her reasons for not being here early. She is one of the most regular of the regulars of the show, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate her loyalty and her efforts. She's probably done more to help promote this show than I have, and I just cannot tell you how much I appreciate all of that. But getting back to the point of Ann Brewer and her veto, I didn't see in the parts that I've read so far where this vagueness was or why there would even be concern for the folks that are pushing the gay and lesbian agenda about this bill. It seems like, and I know by now, if you've been following this issue all week, you have probably heard it said, but it really seems like we've moved from leave us alone to now do stuff for us because we are different. Because that's what we're talking about. This bill was designed to protect small businesses, primarily like wedding photographers and florists, from having to participate in same-sex marriages if their religious beliefs made them feel as if it was inappropriate. Most of these folks have served gays as well as every other type of person during the course of their normal business. But if they disagree with same-sex marriages, why would you want to force them into it? See, that to me is, it's the worst kind of pushiness, and it's a form of tyranny. I talked about a little bit on the show earlier this week over at Spreaker about a blog that I had come across, and I would very much like to read some of that again here, because he made some excellent points and he made some specific issues in some specific cases of what was actually the very essence of what this bill was written to try and stop, to try and prevent. And that is people being forced into doing something with their business that they should not be forced to do by government authority, through the courts in particular. It's unreasonable and unacceptable, I might add, that the government at any point should tell a small business what it can or cannot do, who it can and cannot serve. I, in fact, have had a discussion in my role as a manager in previous divisions with folks trying to explain to them the difference in a public business and a private business. And it seems to be pretty self-evident, I would think. But there are some folks that just don't seem to understand it. And you know, I've had this discussion before. But I was told once by someone that we were asking to leave the premises because they were making other customers uncomfortable, had to ask them to leave. Now, the level of discomfort was a result not of the way they looked or what type of activities they were doing. They really, well, you know, I'll just go ahead. I'll be honest. I'll try to put it publicly. None of you guys know who I'm talking about anyway, so I can just say it. They had not bathed in an extremely long time. And this is a point in time when I was a manager of a quick service restaurant. If you can imagine at least several weeks worth of body odor and now trying to eat a meal with this person being close to you, it was rough. So we asked them to leave. And they're like, You're a public facility. It's like, no, actually. We are a private business that serves the public, and we reserve the right to refuse business to anyone for any reason. And I tried so hard not to hurt their feelings in explaining to them why we were asking them to leave. And it wouldn't even have been an issue if they had not been so adamant about staying there. In the end, they finally got the idea when the cops showed up and kind of backed up what I was telling them. They didn't want to leave. They figured out, however, at the end, that being a private business, I was smiling because Mary made in the chat room, she put in a green icon, emoticon, and yeah, that's exactly what a lot of folks were going through. But the point still comes back to, I feel like I'm stumbling around for some reason, but I'm really not meaning to, so help me, bear with me for a minute. But ultimately, a private business is in business to make money. So most of the time, they're not going to care where that source of dollar bills are coming from. You can be gay, you can be transgender, you can be whatever you want to be. That's between you and the maker. And believe me, you'll have that discussion when the time's appropriate. It's not for me to judge. But when it comes down to it, for the business, they have to take care of what's going to be most appropriate for their business. But then certain small businesses are also in the position where they have enough control that they can decide, hey, I don't want to be open on Saturdays. guess what? That's your reward for being the owner of a small business. You don't have to be open on Saturdays. Now, for most businesses, that would be probably a bad idea because Saturdays are a great day to get the business for all the folks that are working through the week. But it's still your choice. I can't seem to find the blog that I was talking about, sadly. So I don't have the specifics in front of me now. I should have been ready for that, so I apologize. I will find them, and we'll discuss this again some next week. But as it comes down to the simple thing, we're talking about a T-shirt shop that didn't want to print T-shirts for a gay pride parade. There's litigation still ongoing for them. There was, of course, the bakery that did not want to do a wedding cake for a same-sex wedding. They had, and in both of these cases, they had put them in touch with somebody else that did the same thing, and in fact, a better rate. Got a better deal. But it wasn't good enough. They felt slighted. So they believed that they should, in fact, force the courts to tell them that they have to. Now, again, like I said, I haven't finished reading the bill, so I don't know how vague this bill really was in the end. But if it really, honest to goodness, is an issue of the bill being so vague that you had legitimate concerns of what it could be turned into, then fine. But then I immediately challenged the Arizona State Legislature to pass another bill, one that is better defined, and one that cannot go off the reservation, so to speak, one that will protect the religious freedoms of individuals who feel as though they should have the right, and rightfully so, to decide who they provide their services for. Ultimately, the government really doesn't have any business getting involved here. Well, I'm not going to win any brownie points here, but the government was overstepping its bounds during the civil rights era. Because here's the key. Let these businesses conduct their business. Let them do what they're going to do. And if you're not happy with how they're doing business, don't spend your money there. Tell your friends. Don't let them spend their money there. Let the market dictate how business is run. Don't expect the court to intervene. Don't the government in a position of dictating what should and shouldn't be the moral standard. It's unreasonable and it's unacceptable in this country for anyone to push that on anyone else. I'm not for discrimination in any form or fashion. I'm not. The very idea of discrimination based on preconceived prejudices, it makes me feel bad inside when I think about it happening. Okay, I know. Hey, I'm sounding like I'm about to light up the campfire and start singing Kumbaya. I'm not a tree hugger either. Okay. But from everything that I've seen so far, and I, like I said, I promise I will finish reading this bill before we're on again next week. What I saw so far, I didn't see the vagueness in language that she was complaining about. And I don't know if there's still something a little further in the bill that I haven't gotten to yet, or if Governor Brewer just gave in to the pressure. If she gave in to the pressure, shame on her. At this point in time, the NFL, and oh, by the way, I happen to love football, but at this point in time, the NFL has no credibility anyway. It's a league made up of mostly thugs. I have stopped watching professional sports just about completely because the two sports I love the most, football and basketball, at the collegiate level, I still love to watch it. At the professional level, it's become mostly thugs. I just don't watch it anymore. I haven't seriously watched NBA probably since about the time Michael Jordan retired for the last time. And even before then, I was already starting to lose interest. It's been a little more recently since I pretty much stopped watching the NFL, but even then. But again, that goes back to part of that culture we were talking about earlier. So what is the deal? Did Jan Brewer give in to outside interests, people that didn't have a dog in the fight? Did she betray conservative values and conservative principles and the small business owners of her state because of pressure from big corporations? Or did she genuinely see a reason for concern? Because I haven't seen it in this bill. This bill does not read like it was some discriminatory vehicle. I would love any comments on it, any feelings, out of the chat room, on air. I want to have a conversation about this, and, you know, this so far has been pretty one-sided. Was Jan Brewer right to veto this bill? Was she wrong? Mary says that she just did it to keep the NFL from taking the Super Bowl away. You know, if that's all there was to it, then shame on you, Jan Brewer, because you did the people of your state a disservice. Yeah, those dollars are nice. And, yeah, and something else that keeps popping in my mind here is, you know, Arizona has still been hit with this stigma ever since Martin Luther King Jr. Day was made a national holiday. Arizona was the last state to officially recognize it as a holiday, and they had to do things like take away a Super Bowl then. Mary asked in the chat room now, too, do you realize how much the Super Bowl brings to the state? Yeah, in all honesty, I don't know right off. I would imagine it would be millions of dollars, probably several hundreds of millions, actually. It might even approach a billion. And I understand that that's a major hit, but if you're going to betray the small businesses that exist in your state for the purpose of trying to appease a single business that has a single office, so to speak, in your state, now, there are times when you have to say no to the money, whether it comes from the government or it comes from corporate interest. There are times when you have to stand up. And again, all I know is what Jan Brewer said in her press conference and what she's been saying since then. She says she was concerned that the language was too vague. I would love to take her at her word. I would love to think that that's it. Mary says that she would have vetoed it. And I have to tell you, if it really is an issue of reading over it and seeing that, okay, this is too vague, I can see where this could be a problem, this could be used to be discriminatory, I would have vetoed it too. But I wouldn't have vetoed it over the Super Bowl. I wouldn't have vetoed it over Apple. I wouldn't have vetoed it over, what was it, Petco and these other national companies that, I mean, there's a whole list of folks that threatened some various repercussion. I wouldn't have vetoed it over that because the first job of the governor is to do what's best for the people of your state. And yeah, there's a strong argument for trying to make sure that your business environment is strong, and that's a lot of dollars. But this, in essence, was a law that was designed to help strengthen what's already in place in the First Amendment. This is freedom of religion issue. And while a lot of folks keep saying, hey, don't try to hide hatred with faith or try and hide discrimination with the Bible, that's not what this bill was. And again, you know, one more time, I'm going to say it. I haven't read the whole thing yet. I just, things kept popping up. I didn't get to finish through it. But from what I've seen so far, I don't see that. So I hope that Governor Brewer is being straight up, that she was concerned about it, and that was the end of it. Mary in the chat room also says that if she had a bakery and had to bake for a gay couple, that she would charge three or four times what I usually charge and let them go to a cheaper bakery if it's too high. Well, you know what? Mary, you know, I'm sure you would face a lawsuit for that. I mean, it's just that simple. I really don't understand what this issue came from with, like, the case of the bakery, for example, and the case of the T-shirt company that I talked about. In both those cases, they put them in touch with someone else that actually did offer a better price. I have ever had a customer come into one of my stores at any of the jobs that I've worked in the past and not appreciated me saying, hey, you know what, here's somebody else that would probably do a better job for you and save you some money too. And that's what happened. But instead of saying, hey, you know what, this was a better price, Mary also says that she's going to put in her window, we reserve the right to charge what we think is necessary. Well, hopefully your business is doing that already without having to post that in the window. But you know what? I get your point, Mary, and I appreciate it. I also promised a quick update on the Justina Pelletier case. There has been some movement in that. We're in the last 90 seconds, so let me get to it. Massachusetts DCF has broken their silence. In essence, they've broken the gag order, too. They came out with a statement saying that, quote, our primary goal has always been the health and well-being of Justina. We want the parents to be able to work with the providers and courts to ultimately move Justina back to her home state of Connecticut. That's the objective, and it is consistent with our previous efforts to find an appropriate placement near her home. A medical team has been identified at Tufts, the family's provider of choice, with the clinical expertise to care for Justina. Now, they also postponed moving her into the new care facility as well. So that's the update there. I will keep further updates, and I had wanted to talk a little bit more about that beforehand, but we have just flat out run out of time, and I spent a little more time talking about the veto more than I had realized. So at any rate, hope you've had a great weekend. Hope that this upcoming week is an even better week for you. And remember, don't take my word for it. Definitely don't take their word for it. Take some time, do your own research, and always be prepared to put in at least a little bit of effort if you really want to tap into the truth. Thanks, everybody. And like I said, have a great week. We will be back next Sunday. And I am out of here.
While I come back, you know my name. I don't think I can say all I need to say. With the time left, counting down by the day. It went going by, I don't know why time flies. It's a heartbreak, but